Hey everybody, welcome to In and Out of Character, a role players podcast where I, your host, Mr. Island, bring on a guest every single week, two now, every Monday and Wednesdays, and we talk about different things that have to do with them and role playing. Normally like to talk about how they get into the role playing, because I find it a fascinating topic. Today I have on someone named Sean. Now Sean likes to do a podcast where he has a whole bunch of one-shots, and I was so lucky to be able to sign up for a few of them. I'll make sure to keep you guys updated on that as it comes out. And yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and play their promo and then we'll get into the conversation. Thank you, everybody. A really quick note, the audio was a little messed up. I fixed it the best I could, but here we go.
Not every happy ending stays a happy ending. Sometimes removing the obstacles in our path were there for a reason. Sometimes it's not good to feed a fae to an eldritch being and expect everything to be okay. Jesselheim Productions presents Welcome to Pratchettville, an Absurdia campaign ranching off of the fictional heroism arc Thanks for Watching. Meet our players, the Paradox, Tyrell.
Tyrell is definitely checking around to see if there's anyone else around, and he also may have started reaching into his coat there. Like, he has it unzipped, and he's kind of reaching in and pulling out the handle of what appears to be a sword of some kind.
The Forgotten Vessel, only known as Red Acted Essence.
I am. I mean, I think I'm real.
Oh, okay.
I mean...
So, like, are you, like, a ghost?
Well, I don't remember ever living, so I think you have to die to be a ghost.
The Scrapper, Nick.
He's gonna close the door, and he's just gonna kind of sink to the ground and light the smoke, and he's gonna be like, this is the big one, isn't it? I think this is worse than biting books.
The Zeitgeist, the streamer network of Pratchettville.
I'm sorry, what the fuck is touching me?
And she can't make herself look. One of the others will look at whatever the fuck is touching her.
And the rascal, Hazel Sherlombowski.
Someone seems to be tossing pebbles up at your window.
I told you, you could be in love with me, but it's not gonna work. Go away, Travis.
The curio, Corey.
There is a drawstring backpack back on a chair nearby. He turns to a man who I'm just gonna call Michael for the sake of ease. And go, well, Michael, it looked like this is just another pathetic Ouija board. I really don't know why you called me here for this.
Join our players as they explore the city of Pratchettville and its oddities, even though it tends to be a normal town. Just ignore the Monster League pro wrestling group and the strange experiments going on under a bar. Welcome to Pratchettville can be found on your pod chaser of choice and on Twitter and Blue Skies at Jesselheim Pods.
I went ahead and just signed up for all the stuff that was underneath that crest. Crest one. Can you explain that to me? Like, is it like a bunch of different people underneath one banner, or?
Yeah, well, basically, it started out as Dungeons and Pop. So, if you've heard of Dungeons and Pop and wondered where that went, that's what. Essentially, we've had people come and go, and there was a big blow up, and I kind of like, I felt like. Jesselheim is the name for our Adventures with Attitude campaign, but it's also become kind of like I'm actually working on a tabletop RPG from an SRD that's more like focused. We can go into more later, but it's more focused on kind of like the spirit of the old what does D&D call it? Skill challenges. That's it.
Yeah, okay. So it's like a whole bunch of different groups underneath one banner, and you guys create your own tabletops? Is that how that works, or you guys just do a whole bunch of one-shots?
We do a whole bunch of one-shots. We have a couple campaigns. We use different systems, existing systems, and make our own, like, Crest. Crest is basically one of the if they were a fan that joined the podcast, and they're also, like, one of the major people running games for the different feeds. and I'm one other one, and then so there's some other ones that people are, one of them more like, we have another one that's coming up that should be showing some games soon, because the GM called Capers and Cataclysms, where it's kind of like in what we call reoccurring, you know, like ongoing one-shot campaigns, where it's sort of like you know, like those shows where they have, where it's sort of like an anthology, but like it's all in the same world, so you'll see stuff pop up from one episode to another in that kind of sense. So people can join in and be a part of the ongoing campaign and have an effect on the ongoing campaign without having to say, okay, I need to sign up as a long-term campaign person.
Which is what I'm currently doing, just being like, hi, I'm kind of here.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, Sean, I did not ask you to introduce yourself, so if you don't mind doing so, could you go ahead?
Hi, I'm Sean, known in some places as Rackham the Bugbear, Two Toasted, Smoke Toast, Rackham. I don't think anyone remembers Mega Spork, but that was out there at one point, too. I'm a chronic nerd on the internet.
How dare you? How dare you be a chronic nerd on the internet? Well, so one of the things I like to ask my guests when they come on is, how did you get into role playing? Like, what was your first foray into the hobby?
Okay, so this is going to be a deep, deep cut.
Okay.
Because originally I got into role playing from a Mega Man fan game called Mega Man or MM20, or no, I think it's 21XX.
Mega Man?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was like this huge fan game when people were adding all the rumored things. So you go in and you could play as Mega Man X, you could unlock Proto Man, Mega Man, and then all these 50 bajillion fan characters. And then all these different bosses, and it had all these different ways, and it had Robot Masters and Mavericks, and the voice chat kind of turned into this loose RP thing where people were just pretending to be their characters, and I got into role playing from that originally, which led to this chat breaking off of that called Mega Man Realities, which broke off into another thing, and now it's just a private thing, but it kind of led from there. Like one of my longest friends I know is someone I actually challenged to a fight in the Mega Man Realities chat, because that's how I understood it was. It was like fight clubs. You had to play your characters, you had to fight, and he invited stuff. I used to be such an awkward person, not because this I lived in all the, we moved around a lot, we lived in all these I hate to say it, but redneck areas. What's the right term? Not country. What's that word? It means like country, but it just means they're out in the boonies.
I mean, they would call me a coon ass, but
rural? Is that the right word?
Rural, yes.
Yeah, and then most of the people there were, they were like, there's one person in high school, I thought, I moved in, I showed them my house, I showed them my room, they saw my Power Rangers stuff, and that became a long, long-lived enemies situation when they, like, outed me as, oh, he's still into kid stuff in high school.
I'm still into kid stuff now.
Sorry, I'm going off topic.
No, this is the point of the podcast, is to just talk to people about role-playing and how they got into it. You're good.
Yeah, I think I've gotten better, but there was a period where I was like, the other thing is about when I was in Mega Man Realities, someone introduced, oh, one of you, well, the big bad is one of you from the future, and because I was a nerd and I had people that were talking to me, I was like, oh, it has to be me, it has to be my character, Protolex, who's this human that was fused with a Reploid, and for some reason that gave him claws, and it basically turned them into Reploid Wolverine, where they had claws and a healing factor and all these stuff I regret now.
Listen, we all have characters we regret. My first character, I don't know if I told the podcast a little bit about this, but I had a character, my first MMO character was a paladin named Sylvirus Star Tempest, and he was a human paladin at one point, but I roleplayed him like a human shaman, even though they couldn't actually be shamans in the thing. And this is way back in the early days of World of Warcraft, like Burning Crusade days, and people hated him just because I roleplayed him as a human shaman. I do kind of regret it, but you know what? Going back and looking at it, I'm like, you know what? I like that character.
Yeah, I get that. There's always characters you love and you want to bring back, and that's one thing people keep on not realizing. It's always fun when one of our co-hosts, Eric, he always waits for me to either a reference or it's a character coming back.
Yeah, I like to bring up a lot of my old characters too, but I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to stuff like that. A dork, I should say.
The fun thing is for what, at least one of our settings that actually is built into the canon. Jesselheim is literally, as a friend put it, what if a bunch of Eldritch beings were also nerds and they decided to build their own world based off of stuff they've seen from all these other worlds they've been eating?
Oh, that's cool. I like that. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah, so it's part of the reason why this is why Jesselheim production, the Jesselheim world includes Power Rangers, and there's a world that's basically there's a city that's basically BioShock, and then there's Detroit, the superhero, essentially the vigilante city, and there's a Nor-themed town called Aslias, named after the bard that helped stop, because part of the sending is there's these creatures called Thoughtborn, which is our equivalent of Fae, where they're like living ideas. So they come from the Dreamlands, and it's like Aslias is a city of rolling hills. And yes, it is totally a reference to what you think it is. Do 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 do. All right, okay, I don't even remember how it goes. Rickroll.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So, how did you go from Mega Man to like the next point, like because you obviously have gone way beyond just Mega Man roleplay, and you're now helping to run this whole organized podcast?
Well, the Mega Man thing period lasted for a while, but then there's also a period where the movie Mystery Man came out, and that got me interested in kooky superheroes, and so I made this setting called Mystery Teens, which was like, okay, what if like all the kids, it was kind of like, okay, what if this is the Teen Titans of Mystery Men, where all these kids of all these characters that were introduced, and that kind of evolved into its own thing when we realized we were not mentioning Mystery Men, so then it still kept Mystery Teens for a while, and now it's the Allyverse, which is actually one of the future projects, hopefully, and we've actually had a couple one-shots in it where it's evolved. So instead of me having this plane, this character called the Net, who's like just like he got electrocuted while working on a computer, and suddenly he can emulate stuff and have his energy powers, now he's called Ally. And his whole thing is in college, because the world is kind of slightly sci-fi, they were working on a teleporter, and there was this accident where this weird thing happened with an apple where it was like shooting out destructive beams, and so this guy he hopped on this apple and basically got disintegrated because to keep anyone else in the lab from getting disintegrated, and he like popped back into life, energized, and flew off, and then found out, like, oh, one of our lab mates has super speed. Also, I may be a human bomb. That's as far I want to go into before crossing into spoilers, because I actually was one of my projects I need to get back onto is there's actually a novel about this whole guy's origin I was working on involving junk ninjas and shapeshifters from the Middle Ages that call themselves Worm. Because they pretended to be dragons, because knights were not always that cool back then.
No, I like knights more now as an adult than I did back then. Believe it or not, I was more of a wizard's kid myself. So what is your favorite like set system so far?
I want to say anything powered by the apocalypse. I like I do like D&D, but I also like how the narrative first, and that's I don't want to toot my horn and say Jesselheim, but I haven't actually gotten to run it or play it, so I like the concept of it because it's kind of a mix of those two things. But yeah, Powered by Apocalypse is a lot of fun. I've also like I'm in a couple other podcasts where we're using Monster of the Week. That I mean, that's the one I've normally used the most, but I want to try more of the other Powered by Apocalypse games too. I like the fail scale. It's one of those things, like whenever I run D&D, I include the fail scale. If you're within five of the DC, something happens. If you're over 5 over, something really good happens. But if you're under, something happens. It doesn't give you your objective, but it makes things easier. Like if you're trying to climb a wall by digging in, or like you're like, oh, I'm going to use stabbing daggers in here to make handholds. You're going to make it part of the way up, and that's going to leave the handholds you've already made, but you're going to fall, and so you're going to have to try again, but it's going to make the DC easier for someone else. Or if someone had an idea with those handholds, it gives them a lower DC to, like if someone goes, hey, I have a bunch of sticks. Why don't I just break these, and we can actually make actual handholds by jamming it in the holes you made?
Do you feel if that ever, like, makes the game tougher or easier?
I think it makes it easier in a sense that it gives more creativity, but at the same time it paradoxically makes that harder, because if you're just playing with people just used to normal vanilla D&D, it forces them to think a little outside of the box, if that makes sense.
Yeah, which is what you kind of want to do with your players. Like, no offense to anybody out there, but like if everything went super swimming all the time and no conflict happen, that could make for a pretty boring story.
Yeah. And then the fun thing with taking that too is, like, one of my favorite things to do is, like, if someone mentions something offhand that happened, I'm going to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a clip from our Monster of the Week podcast where Eric, the GM, was having a conversation with someone else trying to explain, because there is this cop that just found out Monster Real, like, you know those disappearances in the woods? It's like, yeah, I just figured it was wild animals. Like, you'd be half right. And then he goes, the GM goes, you know what you just did, lizard? Lie? He's like, no, you giving me an idea. And then in the clip is he like, what did he say? Lizard, what did you do to us?
I like in my games when things can't or don't always go according to plan, if that makes any sense. Well, I hope it would make sense, because we have like a whole bunch of role players in this, but my preferred method is things not being so squeaky clean all the time.
Exactly. Yes, but, or no, but are always the fun answers.
Yeah. So do you prefer heavy roleplay games, or do you prefer more casual?
I prefer more heavy roleplay games, because I enjoy like having, there's something I remember hearing, like that, I like the idea of it being a puzzle instead of a, what's the term? I like things being a puzzle. I like things building off of each other. Like, this is mild spoilers for something I'm out, but it's, the context will be great when it comes out. There was a thing where I was in a game for a future podcast, not ours, the actual other one, where we were doing a seance, and there was this monster talking to everyone else through this radio in the room. And this was like early 1900s, so I was playing essentially an artificer in it, and I asked the GM, hey, GM, do I have any potatoes in my bag? Like, yeah. It's like, all right. And then I was like, everyone carrying on. And so my character is fiddling with this potato in the background. And then I go, I'm going to roll weird science, because it's a monster league. Because, all right. Because my character doesn't necessarily believe in the supernatural, but he realizes that whatever this thing is interacting with radio waves and stuff and electricity, right? It's like, yeah, you can suggest that. I just turned this potato into a makeshift EMP bomb, and I want to launch that to radio to see what happens.
Did they let you do it?
They did, and it actually worked really well, because they it stopped it from affecting the room we were in, and now it's basically become because my character has kind of like a steampunk arm. It's become a joke when he runs out of batteries. They use potatoes because of the potato battery. And at one point, I literally do just load a potato into my arm and just fire it like a high-pressured potato gun, and that worked.
I was right about to say, sounds like a potato gun to me. So you prefer something like sort of mixed in the middle, where it's like, it's not super, well, it's casual, but you still have like a seriousness to it.
Yeah. I like casual where it can lead into serious, or it can quote unquote level, it scales. I think that's the thing that I always judge when I see a new tabletop RPG. Is there a scale? Does this scale?
And I hope you don't mind if I just kind of like just jumped into this. I sometimes have a really hard time introducing myself. Hi, it's nice to meet you.
No, I think it works for you. It works really well. This is a casual. This is a really nice conversation. I know I'd enjoy listening to it.
Oh, thank you.
It plays off the tongue.
Yeah, I just like talking about it because role playing is. I've been talking a lot lately about role playing is just such a weird hobby, and I feel like we as a people don't talk enough about it together. If that makes any sense, like. We talk like when we talk about role playing, normally it's about the part that we prefer. Like if we're talking about role playing and I'm a MMO role playing, I normally refer to MMO role playing, and same thing with people who are into tabletops and stuff like that. Like they kind of just sort of stick to their own little areas. And that's the reason why I just like chatting, because I want to talk about all of it. It's really awesome and also weird.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. There's a lot to RPing that I think I feel like I come from a different person from other podcasters, because I started role playing early on. Well, majority of my role playing before becoming a podcaster and tabletop RPGs was just flat out text role playing. I like mechanics now, but it's one of those things where it's like I think it's just interesting, like for the people who have started with tabletop RPGs and talking to them and just playing with them, seeing how people differ and how they role play.
If you don't mind me asking, do you stick strictly to tabletop role playing, or do you like do other avenues as well?
I do still do text role playing, like the group that spawned from Mega Man Paradox Realms still meets. We're actually doing a game called Hunters. It's kind of like a tokusatsu, Kamen Rider Super Sentai Power Rangers kind of thing, but it's really neat. The person who runs it has a lot of really neat ideas, and I kind of hope one day take a step and try choosing an SRD to make a game of the world he builds. I think people would really enjoy it. If you don't mind, I can also say you could actually read some of his other ideas, because he actually has written a couple books.
I don't know how to ask this question without it sounding a little weird. Like, what system do you think supports roleplay for you the best? Like, I know we were talking about, like, Powered by the Apocalypse and the other stuff, but, like, do you think there's, like, a preferred system for you that you would stick to if you could?
But I also want to. I feel kind of like pretentious on it, because there's the system I mentioned that I'm working on for Jesselheim is based off of this other system by Titano Maki, mm-hmm. called Emerge 8. It's sort of like a fusion between. It's sort of like powered by Apocalypse, but it uses dice pools, and it has this really neat mechanic where you start out with a list of skills, like in D&D or whatever, and you make like eight anywhere from 6 to 10 skills, I think, and they're very general. But the neat thing about it is that it then you make 4 abilities, which you make by combining the skills. And then you have powers by combining 2 of the abilities, and it's very roleplay centric in how you build the abilities, at least how the original of the base SRD is. Because like they have, like, for an example, like a digital fighter whose ability is one of his abilities is he can jump into computers and go through the digital world, and then when he's in there, he doesn't have to breathe. They don't have to breathe or eat, that kind of stuff. We actually did a session 0. Actually, there is one I can say that isn't related to Jesselheim, is Skies Above, the one shot we just did a session 0 for, kind of by Lost Haven. That one I haven't actually had a chance to play it, but what I've seen of it, I really like it because it uses a similar concept where all your skills, your weapon proficiencies and all stuff, they all come from combining two skills. And then you would roll a d8 and you would add the total from that.
Okay.
What's this called now? It's called Skies Above. It's a JRPG style system. It's really neat. Like it, it's based off like games like Tales, that kind of thing.
I've heard about Skies Above recently, actually. Where did I hear about Skies Above from?
It might have been in the introduction chat, because I know that was why Lost Haven was introduced. Yeah, I think that might be it too, because when Lost Haven joined in May 11th, they were talking about their games. So they self-published three games, and then they were pulling together a fourth one. Yeah, a fourth game, Skies Above, which is a RPG-inspired game I've been working on for over 3 years.
It must be insanely hard to publish a game. Have you tried?
I've tried. Jesselheim has like a ash can out, and I've been trying. I need to find people who can do some of the edits, because I work in customer service in an industry that the world situation has affected. So like we've been like so super busy that I've been like, I cannot write.
Yeah, it's tough because I preach about it all the time on the podcast. Man, role playing takes time. It takes effort. It takes dedication at times. And I know that sounds daunting to anybody out there who's just listening, but I mean, I watch one of my friends role play. She's going to be coming on this podcast pretty soon, and she does like VR chat role play. And like the time it takes to set up characters and any format is just so time consuming sometimes.
Actually, I did make one game to completion.
Okay, what was that?
Breach the Broadcast.
What is that?
It's a game I made using the Fari RPG's Breathless SRD. It's idea is kind of like, okay, you know the movie Last Cabin on the Left? No, Cabin in the Woods.
Okay, that's the one where it's like they are having to try to get the kids to do like this. They try to get the kids to go out into the cabin so they can sacrifice them so the god doesn't get angry, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah. Breach the Podcast is essentially a Metroidvania tabletop RPG set in a podcast convention where something supernatural happens, and then you basically play a podcast. Trying to escape and deal with the situation.
And what is this called?
Breach the Broadcast.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's very simple too, because it's I think since it's breathless, it doesn't have a lot of to building, but like it has. I gotta look at it again because it's been a while. But like the interesting thing is, it has different. The classes are basically based off of the podcast personalities. So you have You have stuff like the lead, the one to call to action first and think later. The lead tends to focus on the obstacles straight ahead. As the lead, you gain the following stats. You get 10 bash, 8 shoot, 6 think, and you get a novelty sword and armor due to your cosplaying as a meddling teenager.
I like that a lot. So this is one of those more narrative-driven games.
Yeah. The idea with Breathless works is you start with you start with 6 stats, and then every time you use a stat, the dice gets lower. So the idea is that it's a resource management where like you have to find situations where you can basically kind of like in a Metroidvania, you have to find checkpoints to take a breath and save your game. It's sort of like that, where there are rooms you can find where it's a safe spot and you can basically reset your stat, and it has loot boxes, stuff like that. It's a really fun game. We actually ran it. We had like 3 episodes of it on one of the feeds recently, where we had a couple guests on.
I have to ask if anybody's actually done a podcast of this, because that sounds like it'd be a pretty fun idea.
Yeah, I'm open to run it for other podcasts too, if you ever want to have a one shot for yours as a bonus feature.
I'm happy to come on. I love doing this sort of stuff. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons why I joined on with your other shows for a bit is because I've been sort of putting off doing tabletops, and I would like to do them more often. So that is why I did it. Like, I haven't really played D&D 5th edition, but boy, I'm about to when I come and do your one shot.
Your new favorite mildly scary TTRPG anthology is back with Season 2. Long Lost Tabletop Presents Lucky Number 13 Great Outdoors starts on Friday, June 13th with a new game, new characters, and new mysteries. We're playing kids on bikes and headed to summer camp where teens Edie...
It's clearly these are birds and locations affected by alien visitations.
Jimmy...
Can we debrief about the ghosties?
And Braxy...
Sure, go ahead. Ditch me again. Leave me with the monsters again.
Get pulled into some supernatural shenanigans in Little Lake Village on the shore of Lake Lago. I'm Modico, returning as your Game Master for these 13 episodes, and I'll be joined by players Brian, Jasmine, and Marcos. We hope you'll spend your summer with us at the beautiful and totally not cursed Camp Laity. You can find us just about anywhere you catch your podcasts. Until then, happy hauntings out there, friends.
It's going to be interesting because it's South. I mean, it's Kobold Rangers.
So, speaking of your shows, right quick. How can you tell me about them a little bit?
The main website for it is called Jesselheim Productions. Jesselheim is a name my friend Eric came up with. It means home. If I remember correctly, it translates to home of many things. To kind of feed into like that whole thing I mentioned before, how like the world, the Jesselheim world, is literally like all these different things from different realities kind of getting reincarnated. And the way I always kind of picture it is that it's all, there's actually a god in it called the DM, the god of the human god of chaos.
Okay, yeah.
And the whole idea is that he was this bard that got brought into the Pantheon to keep things interesting. So he goes all these other worlds and he goes like that are ending. He goes, hey, I know this really sucks, but would you like to like maybe live another life somewhere else? I can't do anything about saving your world, but I can make sure you and your story continues in a new way.
It's very, very meta.
It's very meta.
Super meta. I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, it was something that kind of came together because technically, like, for the Jesselheim setting where one of our feeds is Adventures with Attitude, which was technically our first campaign for the podcast back when it was Dungeons and Pop. Because I have a friend who's a very self, my friend Eric, he's kind of really self-conscious, but he is a great actor. He's a great writer. He really thinks out his characters. And this supplement for 5e came out called Lasers and Liches, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's like the most 90s meta supplement ever. And he's like, hey, this has a henshin class. And henshin is a Japanese word for like Power Rangers and Kamen Rider. And he's like, why don't we start a podcast using this? And we just have you guys all play henshin class. So basically, let's make a Power Rangers podcast in D&D.
I feel like that is something that like should have happened a lot sooner.
Oh yeah, like well, I'm surprised it didn't come. I've seen fan supplements. So this is the first one where like or fan ideas for classes, but this is the first time it actually came out. And ironically, Lasers and Liches came out years before the actual Power Rangers tabletop RPG came out.
Yeah, I was about to ask about that because like I know there is one. I don't actually know if there is any podcast out there running the Power Rangers.
There's something coming out in the future that I need to link you to that I'm a part of. That isn't it's not my podcast, but it's one I got at. I got invited to, and it is very cool. And it's also Cowboy Bebop. That's all I'm going to give on it.
Oh hell yeah!
All I will give on details is it's far future and it's space and it's really awesome. And we've had some really dramatic scenes already, and I think we're only recorded like 6 times so far.
I fucking love Cowboy Bebop. I think I've been wanting a Cowboy Bebop show or something. Like, I like, growing up in New Orleans, I enjoy jazz. I loved Cowboy Bebop because I'm a big space fan. I'm a big sci-fi nerd. And when they came out and it had like all these elements mixed together, I was like wrapped up like it with everybody else.
Yeah, I like it too. There's maybe one shots coming up because I know there's some games that I don't know if I want to run, but I kind of want to try to find someone to run for us that are just... Oh yeah, yeah. There's like a tabletop RPG that is just Cowboy Bebop with like... See you next time, Space Cowboy, I think it's called.
Ooh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it looks a lot of fun. It's just, I just need someone to GM it because I don't want to GM that. I want to play in that.
No, I get that, dude. Like, I am almost, another reason why I stopped role-playing on tabletops is because sometimes I get stuck as the forever DM. Maddie, one of my closest friends in the whole wide world, she was running a Borderlands game, and I really liked that one, but I don't know why we stopped. I think it's because we all just got busy. Oh, I miss it though. I loved it so much. It was so much fun. I was playing this Magic Sniper. I can't remember what exactly I was playing, but I really liked her.
I like that idea of a Magic Sniper. That's a really fun idea.
But this goes to show that if you really want a system, there is a system out there for everything.
Yeah, definitely.
The fact that I didn't even know there was a cow, I should have probably have known that there was a Cowboy Bebop tabletop out there.
Okay, the show. Okay, this one, you're going to hear the name, you're going to go, oh, is this meta? And yes, it is.
I'm listening.
Fictional Heroism, which is our Monster of the Week podcast.
Uh-huh.
Because the premise of the idea is, okay, what if magic was real, but magic is the narrative? And it's really like a meta fictional horror where like there's stuff like the organization in the setting is the library, and they've actually had to hire out to other people because the people are like, one of the concepts is that the normal agents in the agency, because they were using magic and not technically supposed to, basically they were there's just all these people that are constantly being quote unquote rebooted / reincarnated because they abused the narrative, and then the narrative pushed back.
Did you gamify getting guests on your podcast?
You know, you know what's funny? I sort of did. I never thought of it like that.
No, but it worked. If it works, it works. Because like that's one of the reasons why I started this podcast myself, is because I just wanted to have more friends in this space and like to like interact with more people. And so I can totally understand. I 100% approve.
Like the main, what is quote unquote the main cast following the main threat, because this is another one of those reoccurring one shots. Mm-hmm. So we have, but the main storyline is about how there's this creature called the lore worm, which is literally an eldritch worm eating these stories, absorbing them and stuff. But like the main cast was there was a angel from the 80s named Raj, who's like, he's like had the zoot suit and everything. We had a NASCAR redneck cowboy named Bud Light.
Oh yeah.
We had a crooked named crap, I don't remember his name, but the crooked is a cartoon cat who's like kind of like a nod to Sly Cooper. And then there was I can't remember the playbook. It was like a third party playbook where you're basically like, you're someone who's been you're a demon and you do deals. But now they're the chosen too. That's how the fun thing, how that thing. But it was like kind of funny, like, because in the first arc they were in was called Five Nights at Goodman's.
Yeah,
and there's some spoilers for it. The Five Nights at Freddy part was not actually the main theme, despite the fact that the main monster did turn you into a giant purple man.
Uh-huh.
But I was like it's like the first arc turned out to be like, it was, they were dealing with what's that monster, is it Grendel?
I unfortunately don't know anything about Five Nights at Freddy's. I have no idea about it.
It's not Five Nights. It's like Mythical Legends. Like
Oh, okay. Oh, Grendel. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, because it was the Grendel mother was the Lorewyrm, and basically they were infecting the... Basically what happened was there was all these deaths around a pizzeria, and the Grendel was possessing the guard and sending him to kill all these people because the Lorewyrm was trying to force a situation where this kid, who was in no position to defend himself, would become a Chosen, so then they could eat them and take the Chosen power. And then it was funny because the funny part was when they got into pizzeria and Wiley is the name of the cat, cartoon cat. The cartoon cat got into the pizzeria and saw that it was a Wiley franchise pizza restaurant with his cat, with all his friends that were in a van in animatronic form on the stage. And it just completely blew his mind. He's like, I didn't sign on to this.
Can I ask you a sad question?
Yeah.
Do you think it's ever gonna... When do you think it's all gonna end? Like the whole shebang, like the podcasting, the stories, just all of it.
I'm hoping at least a decade out there, but I mean, I'm in my 40s, so I can't guarantee that.
I'm at that point where I'm thinking a lot about it, and I'm going to keep going for as long as I possibly can. But like, there are times where I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, man, when am I going to stop role playing? It sounds really super depressing, like when I put it like that, but like at some point, like the story has to end, and that sucks.
Oh, I know that. I agree on that. But I mean, then I always picture it when a story ends. I want to see at least a decade or two out, just because I want to try to finish the stories I got, because some of the feeds have gone on hold just because we haven't had time to get everyone together. But I kind of want to get to the end, at least finish the story, you know?
Yeah, how do I put this? I'm thinking about like how I would tell somebody like why role playing is important to me, right? And because a lot of people out there don't really understand roleplay or get like what it's all about. They think it's just people out there doing, I don't fucking know, witchcraft or something. God, I'm not making any sort of sense.
I think I have an answer for you that's very satisfying. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Roleplaying is the ultimate form of collaboration.
Yeah, that is true.
It's people telling stories together, shaping them together, helping them to... I enjoy role-playing admittedly more than I do writing because of the collaboration part, because of heavy self-doubt. I'm going to admit it. So I have major self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought I was smart for a long time, and then I learned I was being dumb at the time.
Yeah. Oh, been there.
And I think the best part about role playing is that it's a story everyone tells together, that you don't have to feel the pressure that you have to have the answer because someone else will.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times, like when I'm, I think I definitely agree with the sentiment that I prefer role playing more than I do writing. Cause like I've written stories before and stuff like that, but like, it just doesn't hold the same sort of joy as role-playing with other people does. Have you tried LARPing before? I've been talking a lot about LARPing recently.
I want to try it. I just need to find it somewhere in the area and I can afford the equipment.
You know, I was sitting here thinking to myself earlier, I was like, because I want to get more LARPers on the podcast. So I'm like, how the fuck do I get into LARPing? And all I have to do is just, again, fucking Google, and there's so many of them, actually. And it's just like, why do I not hear about them more often?
You know, that is an interesting question. I wonder, I think a lot of it's like the, I think the LARPing community, they don't advertise it as much, maybe. Mm-hmm. People don't want, I think there's, like you were talking with the stigma, people are like, oh, so you're going out in the woods and hitting people with sticks. That's great. you're going out in the woods to commit legal assault. That's great.
I'm at that point in my life where I've just started going, hell yeah, to like anything that I do. So if someone asks me like, oh, so you're just going out there to beat each other up? Like, yeah, the fuck, why not? I'm in my 30s. I can do what I want.
I'm not saying that's what they do. I'm just saying that's what like someone who like my coworker. If I told my coworkers LARPing, goes, oh, that would be what their impression is. Oh, okay. Sean's usually angry at work because of stupid customers. He's just going to go out and take it out on some stranger. No, lovely.
It does come off as a little weird, doesn't it?
No, it's a little bit, but it's an interesting saying, and it's. I think that's the other thing too, is because I am. You can't tell from my voice, and we don't have a voice thing, but I am chunky, so there's always that. There's that little bit of, all right, am I going to go out there and have a heart attack, even though I don't drink or smoke?
No, I get it. I get it. As I have gotten up there at my age, I don't know what the fuck happened. Once I turned 35, dude, like, my body hates me now. I don't know what happened, but, dude, I woke up one day and... my entire everything was just like, nah, dog, that's not a thing you do anymore. That is over. It's in the past. Well, Sean, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was a blast to have you on.
It was a blast to be here.
Yep. Go ahead. If there is anything, shit, I almost forgot the most important question, man. I always ask at the very end of all of my episodes to my guests if they have any advice for role players out there.
My best advice, mix shit even if it doesn't make sense. It will make sense later. You can,
what do you mean?
The best role plays and best ideas I've had for role play came from mixing things that did not make sense to mix up.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very popular character, at least as far as I can tell, in Jesselheim, that is literally was just me going saying, okay, I really like these super crown designs. I see these cute pictures of Bowsette and Bowsette together. All right, I want to make these NPCs that are essentially XPs of Bowsette and Bowsette. And then and because I had Bowsette, I had to make Bowsette Jr. And there's like a whole arc of where the party, like after the in the main setting, the party had to had this random child just followed the sky and land in the tent, knocking the tent they were in, and like the Red Ranger's like, because the Red Ranger in the campaign is they were a red shirt in the big Power Rangers war, and now they're like their mentors. They've taken on their mentor's suit, but there was this whole thing where they found where he recognized her because it was their child, the child of the two duchesses that he took care of, who like adored him. And so, like, they led to this whole fun arc where they were trying to say, all right, are we going to go to the city? How do we get to the city safely? And it led to them basically teaming up with the universe's tiefling equivalent of Batman.
Yeah? How'd that go?
It was fun because they got them to agree to take them to the city in the Batmobile, and then right when they were loading up, they got attacked by a boss monster, and it led to this fun boss monster because I can't remember. I think I reworked some STP because the whole idea was that like if you looked at the monster, it would cause you to have these nightmares about your future. But it was neat because it led to this thing where they were fighting him off at first, and then everyone got in the car. The guest playing the tiefling ran down the monster with the car, and they grabbed onto the back end, and it led to like this thing where they were driving through the streets of the city, heading out of town, taking pot shots at this monster while they were also slamming the monster into buildings and stuff. And if someone, I mean, like, if I told you, all right, I have the setting where there's Bowsette and Bowsette are duchesses of this city. They have a changeling daughter that's Bowsette Jr. They go to meet this red shirt guy who's now the Red Ranger and convince him to go to the city. So they team up with Batman to escape the city. Like, if I put it in those terms, that doesn't make much sense, does it?
And also, I'm pretty sure that's how my prom went.
But yeah, I think mixing, people sometimes say like, oh, right, taking inspiration is bad. No, taking inspiration flat out and not taking your own spin, that is bad. Everyone takes inspiration from everything. It's like, and I know this is a common argument for AI, and it's true in a way, except that AI doesn't have the consciousness to make decisions. So AI makes the easy. If you tell it to like combine these things, it will take the easy route.
Oh, I get you. It will never replace. It will not replace us as inspirations. It's basically it. And I get what you're saying about mixing things now, because like I love to mix up my characters and role play as well, like in my MMOs. And I don't think that's a bad idea. That's a perfectly fine idea to do.
Like for the last save in one shot, my goal was just a single pun. I made Arizona Gulls to be an Indiana Jones XP, and then by the end of it, they're also a common rider who has a bike that transforms into their suit, and they do decent damage, but they're pretty shitty at shooting.
Well, Sean, thank you again so much for coming on the podcast, man. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you having me on.
Really quick, where can they find you?
I can be found on Blue Sky at, if I remember, let me make sure I get the right name, but I believe it's, it's Jesselheim Pods is the podcast. And then I also have a separate Blue Sky, which is where I post things about I think it's Rackham the Bugbear, is where I post about just the Jesselheim the game and all different things I'm working on, a bunch of different hero forges I made too. If it turns out to be wrong, we can check the show notes, folks.
Oh yeah, I'll fix that. Don't you worry.
Oh, Rackham the Bard, that's what it is.
Rackham the Bard. There we go. All right, yeah. Thank you. Appreciate you coming on, man.
No problem. And we're always open for more people playing. Like as we say at Jesselheim Productions, we want to play with everyone, except for Nazis. Fuck them.
Except for Nazis. Fuck those guys.